Radio 3 and stay with us for more great classical music in Private Passions coming up right after this.
BBC Radio 3, the home of classical music.
Make time for yourself and wind down from the day with a classical mixtape. A 30-minute soundscape of classical music to wash away all of life's troubles. The Classical Mixtape, weekday evenings from 7.
Listen on Radio 3 and BBC Sounds.
This is Radio 3, it's midday, time for Private Passions with Michael Barclay.
Raymond Blanc is one of the finest chefs in the world, and he's completely self-taught. He grew up in post-war France, in Besançon, in the Comté region, between Burgundy and the Jura Mountains, with four brothers and sisters. Raymond's mother, Maman Blanc, was his culinary inspiration. She would whip up delicious, fresh, seasonal, local dishes, which became the guiding principle when he opened his first restaurant in Oxford, Les Quatre Saisons, in September 1977. Often working 18 hours a day, he launched a bakery chain, Maison Blanc, in 1981, and then renovated and opened Le Manoir aux Quatre Saisons, a country house hotel, which was awarded 2 Michelin stars, and it's celebrating its 40th anniversary this year. He has, of course, also appeared on numerous television shows, including The Restaurant and the cookery series Simply Raymond. Well, we're going to hear music, Raymond, by Vivaldi, Verdi, Leonard Cohen. But the first piece you've chosen is the Moonlight Sonata. Why this?
It's a whole story, actually, because I had working-class parents who loved accordion, whilst as a youngster I would love rock and roll, and the heavier the better. So I was not introduced to classical music for a long, long time. And the way I was introduced to classical music, I was working in a restaurant, and there were some young students who loved my food, but they couldn't afford it. So they proposed a deal to me that they would actually play music for me, recite poetry. Among them, there was Simon Preston, okay, who became one of the greatest organists. And the counter deal was that I would cook for them. So effectively, I would finish my work by 12 o'clock at night, and they would start to play music for me, and I would start to cook for them. And we would finish around 4 o'clock in the morning. And one of the very first pieces they played was this amazing piece from the Sonata of Moonlight, and that caught me so deep because it was so powerfully romantic, beautiful, heavenly music. Music for the soul, no less.
Well, given the hours you had to keep, you were very familiar with Moonlight.
But then what happened? I bought myself a piano. You know, I was so inspired by these people. So not only I wanted to cook, but I wanted to be a great pianist. So I bought a piano, woke up the whole house. And after 2 years, I presented a tape of Moonlight. And Simon Preston, actually, I gave it to Simon Preston and told him, it's a friend of whose has played that piece. What do you think? And he came to me a few weeks after. Say, Raymond, I don't know who played that piece, but this man is a murderer. He's an assassin. And I screamed inside, no, all my dreams. But that was really, why Raymond Blanc, being a great, great chef, would want to be a great musician as well. I'll tell you why. And that was, for me, the greatest lesson of humility. Not only I wanted to cook like an angel, to be, you know, all sweaty, I would come out on the grand piano and delight my guests. And that was a great lesson of humility for me. Brilliant. And I have a great grand piano at home, Bergstein, which is sitting beautifully, which I never touch. Natalia, my partner, plays, and her daughter plays, but I only watch it with respect.
Well, fortunately, we have somebody else, Alice Sarah Ott, in fact, to play part of the Moonlight Sonata by Beethoven.
Well, heavenly, deceptively simple. And as she heard that this piece of music that Beethoven wrote for his loved, he found it after quite remarkable that most people made it such a great, world-class piece of music when he thought himself, it was just nice. Yes. Interesting, is it?
We heard Alice Sarah Ott playing music from Beethoven's Piano Sonata No. 14 in C-sharp minor. I'm dying to hear a little bit more, Raymond Blanc, about your early life in the French Comté. It produces one of my favourite cheeses, Comté, no?
Most people's favourite cheese, I would say, is the Comté, of course.
It's almost like a Gruyère, but it's different.
Well, it's first created from a Montbéliard cows. And I remember going very high in the Jura Mountains, and they just cut the grass. You could only hear birds, you could hear creaky, and the sound of the wind, that's all. And I took a big handful of this cut grass, fresh cut grass. There was at least 40 different herbs and flowers. It was beautiful. That's what makes the Comté. In my village, for example, I had 15 paysans, each with 15 cows. Mm. My job as well was to milk the cows to get some money.
Were you fairly free to do what you wanted out of doors? I mean, your dad put you to work in the garden.
Yes. Oh, it was wonderful life. Full of adventures, my papa drew a map of the very vast forest where I could get the first wild asparagus or the berries or wild mushrooms. We would go sometime and sleep in the forest. If you got lost, you have moss thick like that, you know. You make a bed of moss, you shake it because it's full of live things inside, and then you sleep. It's okay. Nobody would worry.
Yeah. And you caught your dinner sometimes, didn't you, in the waters?
Oh, yes. Fishing was all part of it. Hunting and gathering. I was a rich man at the age of 14. I had loads of money because I would sell it to chefs. Always, if you are a hunter-gatherer, don't go to the market and sell it. Go to the chefs. They would give you twice the price. So, yes, it was an amazing life. Of course, the garden was hard work because there was very few flowers, I can tell you. And you had to feed a family of seven almost all year round. That means you had to hoe the earth, you had to remove the stone. When you thought it was all over, you had to harvest tons of beans and peas and broad beans and radishes, top and tail them, prepare them, and give it to your mum. So for her to apply art. And my mum, Maman Blanc, was an extraordinary cook. And she taught me so much about organic values, varietals. She would never tell me, get me some potatoes, get me some rat. I knew it was sauté. Get me some Bingies potatoes. It was puree of potatoes. Get me some Maris Piper, French fries, great. You know. And so I had a deep understanding of seasonality, of varietal, of the purity, the nobility of food. That's what I brought to my young people at Le Manoir Quatre Saisons all my life.
Did your mum cook local dishes, always been very important to you? What, for example?
There would be soup every day, and we were never bored of soup, and she would do it according to the season. For example, now it would be turnips, it would be potatoes, the first Swiss chards, and then she would sweat them to exact the sweetness, and then pour water. Why water? It was pure. And these vegetables would express their beauty and character even more cleanly. And maybe a tiny dash of sour cream at the end. And mostly herbs would be chervil, parsley, according to the seasons.
And she would create fantastic feasts, wouldn't she, for family get-togethers?
Yes, every Sunday, a table, maybe 15, 16, 17 of friends. I knew all my cousins, my uncles. This woman works so hard. There was a glue of the family.
And your grandma taught you to make blackcurrant jelly?
Very much so, yes, and more, actually, far more, because my grandma was the most renowned cook in the region, and actually in Besançon, she would be called by the prefect if a minister came along, my grandma would cook for them. My grandfather lost all his cows to a bad virus, so he became the keeper of a castle. So imagine, so he had about 200 trees, would make his own wine, and actually I got drunk at the age of 5. I could smell some very intriguing smell, you know, quite strong and fruity as well. So I went towards his cellar, went down the mossy steps, opened his very large doors, and I saw the still life of this huge man and this monstrous thing in the middle, which is alembic. which when you made the alcohol. And I saw behind you had hundreds of jars of preserves, dried fruits, and so on. It was beautiful. I wish I could have painted it, but I got drunk in 2 minutes because of the vapor of the alcohol in that cellar.
And would music come into these evenings, these family get-togethers, songs?
Yes, my papa would always sing popular song. He sang very well. He had a great voice. Whereas myself, I had a terrible voice. Actually, the priest of my church didn't allow me to sing. I was that bad. But my father was a great... So, and then everyone would sing. Listen, accordion. Because we're working class, we're not involved in classical music. And there was that division of music defining which class you were most.
We'll come to more classical music in due course. But now, avec le temps, why did you choose this?
Léo Ferré, a bit of an anarchist, but beside a great poet, it's a beautiful story of a couple. Through time, their love is eroded. Their love loses its beauty, its strength, to the point where they separate. The poetry which goes within it is totally extraordinary and beautiful.
Avec le temps va, tout s'en va, on oublie le visage et l'on oublie la voix, le cœur, quand ça bat plus, c'est pas la peine d'aller chercher plus loin, faut laisser faire et c'est très bien. Avec le temps va, tout s'en va, l'autre qu'on adorait, qu'on cherchait sous la pluie, l'autre qu'on devinait au détour d'un regard, entre les mots, entre les lignes et sous le phare d'un serment maquillé qui s'en va faire sa nuit. Avec le temps va, tout s'en va, même les plus chouettes souvenirs, ça t'a une de ses gueules, à la galerie je farfouille, dans les rayons de la mort, le samedi soir, quand la tendresse s'en va toute seule. Avec le temps va, tout s'en va, l'autre à qui l'on croyait pour un rhume, pour un rien, l'autre à qui l'on donnait du vent et des bijoux pour qui l'on eût vendu son âme pour quelques sous, devant quoi l'on se traînait comme traînent les chiens. Avec le temps, avec le temps va, tout s'en va, on oublie les passions et l'on oublie les voix qui vous disaient tout bas, les mots des pauvres gens, ne rentre pas trop tard, surtout ne prends pas froid. Avec le temps, avec le temps va, tout s'en va, et l'on se sent blanchi comme un cheval fourbu, et l'on se sent glacé dans un lit de hasard, et l'on se sent tout seul peut-être mais peinard, et l'on se sent floué par les années perdues. Alors vraiment, avec le temps, on n'aime plus.
That's so French.
It is.
That yearning quality. Yes, and I was thinking of the music round in terms of your discipline. You know, a bit of horn here, the weeping strings there. It's almost like adding in herbs or spices or whatever to your cooking.
You could certainly add a lot to his song, but he's a pianist as well. He plays the piano. He composed all his music. And actually, at the end, he conducted his own orchestra. He had a 50-piece orchestra. But what I love is the desperation of being lost something so precious. And if we look back in our lives, sometimes we can feel a bit like that. Okay, it's not always gain.
Avec le temps, over time, written and performed by Léo Ferré from his 1972 album, Avec le temps. After leaving school, you had a number of jobs, Raymond Blanc, but when did you realise that your future might be in food?
Yeah, I became a nurse because I liked the idea of looking after people. I was working in a department, leukemia, and I saw at least 12 young people dying. And I couldn't deal with it. So I looked for my talent because I really strongly believe that everyone has got something special in himself or herself. And I worked in a factory, which was the most demeaning time. That was the worst time. Until I was maybe lucky, I saw a restaurant. A restaurant in the middle of my own town called Le Palais de la Bière, which was a star Michelin restaurant. And it was an evening, and the trees were bristling. It was a beautiful summer night. And the waiters, like in a ballet, you know, with a red, Bordeaux red jacket with a silver epaulette. And then the maître d'hôtel were in a queue de pie, black tie, you know, carving and flambeing the crepe suzette, carving the sea bass. And I fell completely in love. And I wanted to be a chef. I didn't want to be the waiter. I wanted to be a chef, but life is never like you think it's going to be. And instead of becoming a chef, I was offered the job of a cleaner. And I became the best cleaner. I cleaned those 18th century mirrors. I would go back on my ladder with vinegar and newspaper, and I would shine these mirrors until they were immaculate. It was like the Galerie des Glaces in Versailles. Then toilets were immaculate, so everyone loved me. So I was promoted to wash-up, and I loved my glasses. They were all hand-blown. When you tickle them, you could hear this wonderful musical sound, so fragile. I cut down the breakage by half. I developed new technique. My grandmother gave me her own linen cloth, which wouldn't leave any fluff. And the sommelier loved me, and equally I tasted every bit of wine coming from the customers, not to get drunk, but to taste. And in 6 months, I knew all my Pinot Noir from my Gamay from a Cabernet Sauvignon. I knew all my wines. And I was reading all the great classics of food, and I would cook for my friends. And then I became a waiter. And I understood, having done cleaner, washer-up, glass washer-up, and waiter, what makes a great restaurant or a great business. It's this ensemble of these people who are totally dedicated, are knowledgeable, and in love with what they're doing.
But this job came to an abrupt end, didn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Yes. The cuisine, I found it a bit too heavy, so I thought I was delicate enough, suggesting to lighten a bit the sauces, chef with a bit of sabayon, using some different spices, smoked paprika, a bit of cayenne here, a bit of confit of lemon. He didn't like it. And that man, I saw him. I always remember that moment. He was 1.90 meters tall. His eyes got darker. His moustache bristled. He took a copper pan and he shoved it in my face. Broken jaw. He went to hospital. And on that day, I lost my job. I lost my jaw. But this man never broke my dream that one day I would touch excellence.
Your friend Simon Preston is in our next music. Adagio in G minor by Albinoni, in a special arrangement, actually. Rather unusual. We've got the great trumpeter, Håkon Hardenberger.
Now, many people might think it's a very sad piece of music and understand why they sing that. But for me personally, it is the most reflective part of music, where you can almost put your state in a state of meditation, put all your troubles away, and where I feel completely in deepest connection with that music.
Part of the Adagio in G minor by Albinoni, arranged by Remo Giazzotto. Some people think he actually completed it. We heard it performed by Håkon Hardenberger on the trumpet and Simon Preston, of course, on the organ. Playing the trumpet that smoothly, yeah, that effortlessly, requires a lot of work. And I think, talking about cooking, great hard work and discipline seem to be essential.
That's true to every profession, to every piece of artistry, because one's dream of a human being is to touch excellence, even for a few minutes. And you're a lucky man if you can. And to do that requires, yes, so many work ethics. huge intuition, spirituality.
But when the chef hit you, it was because you were trying to suggest something which could be an improvement, and he regarded it as an impertinence.
Absolutely. That was a time where you didn't tell anything, chef, but yes, chef, that's it. Actually, what we are doing at Le Manoir is to change completely this culture. And we worked 40 years at it. And now we have, for example, 52% of women working at Le Manoir. It means nothing mathematically, but it means a lot, because you create a culture which will welcome the young, a culture which is supportive, a culture which cares.
Well, let's go back to when you were a young chef, because you were dismissed from this restaurant in Besançon. But I think the owner's son came to you with a suggestion?
Correct. He basically invited me, Raymond, you are burned in France, you have no hope. So I was a no-hoper at the age of 20 or something like that. So it was a bit frightening. And he helped me to find a position, in England, which was called the Rose Revived. That's where basically I took my very battered Renault Gordini, put the car on the ferry. Then I wanted to taste first-hand British food. Remember, it was 1972.
Yes, not a very nice prospect for a French cook.
An English ferry, went in the restaurant with great excitement. And I saw the waiter, his jacket was full of grease, his eyes were dead. But I was still excited, and I look at the menu and I see something I could recognize, fish and chips. And the fish and chips arrived immediately, within 3 minutes. How can they do that? I was completely startled by the speed. I could smell it 5 meters away because the vinegar was so strong, I started to cough. That's the first. And then the fish, I look at the fish, and the fish was rectangular. And I never fish. Nobody would have fish. There's a head, there's a tail, there's a middle. But there it was rectangular. I'd never seen that in my life, And chips, which were grey and soggy with fat. I say, oh, my God, where am I going? I understood there and then that the cultures that I was about to meet would be very different of the one I knew. But I'm a very positive person. It took me about 5 days to reach this Rose Revived. Now, I always remember...
We must say here that it's the Rose Revived, not the Rose Reviled, which it could be.
It is the Rose Revived. It was Newbridge. It was a Humber bridge created in 13th century that they called Newbridge. And then you had the Thames and the boats passing by, and it was a most beautiful discovery.
And what did you make of the food when you got there, as opposed to on the ferry?
Oh, God. Actually, I took the wrong entrance, and I went directly in the restaurant. And the first thing was the smell, because the coffee had boiled for about 3 hours, and the smell of this stale coffee was... Oh, killing me, somehow. It was so horrendous. And then I saw a man, a tall man, with blonde hair. And to my horror, this man was actually scooping out with his own bare hand. There was two half-eaten trifles, and he was scooping the trifle, making it one, and with his hands patting the top, and then taking the whipped cream and... And then, with great elegance, he took a toothpick and he put a sherry glacé on the top of it. I said, oh, my God. Really, I was really scared.
Leonard Cohen next, Raymond.
Yeah. Leonard Cohen, I love his music. I love his lyrics. It was a time where, as well, coming in England, not speaking the language, I was very alone. And being a waiter, you had nothing. You were nobody. And you felt it sometimes. So retrieving myself in the world of Leonard Cohen was important to me because first I learned the language, I started to speak a bit better, but mostly I love his poetry, his ballads, his beautiful music.
Well, this is Leonard Cohen singing Alleluia.
Now I've heard there was a secret chord that David played and it pleased the Lord, but you don't really care for music, do you? It goes like this, the fourth, the fifth, the minor fall, the major lift, the baffled king
did, well really, what's it to you? There's a blaze of light in every word, it doesn't matter which you heard, the holy or the broken, hallelujah.
Leonard Cohen with his Alleluia from his 1984 album Various Positions. Now, in 1977, Raymond Blanc, you set up your first restaurant, Le Quatre Saisons, in a 60s concrete shopping parade. You had quite a job on your hands to get it ready, didn't you?
I was between a lady's underwear, nothing to do with Agent Provocateur, I can assure you, and Oxfam. But when I entered the restaurant, it was the most frightening moment of my professional life because there was dirt everywhere. The smell. I opened a drawer of the fridge. There was a dead rat inside. I said, oh, my God. But it took me, because I was by myself to start with, about 3 weeks to clean the rest of the scraper, scraping all the dirt, cleaning it up. And I opened there with three young chefs, Sarah, Connie and Mark. And Mark still worked with me. He's my director of the Raymond Blanc Cookery School at Le Manoir Quatre Saisons. Amazing young man. But this kitchen, of course, there was no air conditioning, certainly not. There was no insulation. I mean, in summer, it was 40 degrees, and in winter, it was less 2 degrees. You had to scrape the ice on the pass. And that's where, in 1 year, we got a Star Michelin, and in 3 years, 2-star Michelin. It was amazing. But I didn't work for stars. I worked for excellence, and the Star Michelin were a great byproduct of these things. And I remember when I got 2-star, Albert Roux phoned me in full service, and I don't take the phone on full service. And the phone kept ringing. So I took up, said, well, come on, what do you want? I said, oh, Raymond Dunway, good news for you. You can sleep tonight on a 2-star Michelin cushion.
Because you hadn't been sleeping very much, had
no,
you?
No.
Taking people off to pick your own vegetables.
It was 16, 18 hours a day, 6 days a week. You had only a Sunday off.
Nevertheless, it must have been very exciting to at last be able to create your own dishes.
Oh, absolutely. My cuisine was simple enough to start with, but also clean, very fresh, very seasonal. I called it Les Quatre Saisons, the Four Seasons, in honour to my parents, to my own French culture.
Well, it's Vivaldi next, and there's a very important musician involved here, Vanessa May.
Oh, yes, of course. For me, it was part of a great adventure. So I flew all the way to Beijing in China to understand their food better, their culture better, their art, and I also wanted to buy lots of antiques to create a new bedrooms. And suddenly, in the heart of that busy Beijing, I hear a piece of music. It was violin, and it sounded lovely. In that busyness, that know the place. So I went towards his music, and eventually the music became more loud and clear and beautiful. Everyone was crying. I started to cry in no time because that violin was played by a tiny little girl. She was about 13. The violin was much bigger than her, and it was so evenly. So at the end of the performance, I went to see the managers, which was the parents. I said, Madame, I want to bring your little girl to Le Manoir Quatre Saisons for an open concert of 3,000, and I will prepare a 60-piece orchestra for your little girl. And the parents were émerveillés. They were so happy. I said, yes, yes, yes. Imagine, to promise a 60-piece orchestra. Well, to be fair, I had a few connections, Simon Preston, of course, and I knew very well Sir George Schulte, who was a great Hungarian conductor. Obviously, I knew he would help me, and he did help me. And, of course, Vanessa May, because that's the name of this tiny little girl, was not known in Europe. That was the first time she went in Europe. And I created this huge concert. Oh, la, 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 and feeding 3,000. I'm not Jesus Christ, you know. And my team were marvelous. And the weather decided to be nice. Memorable outdoor concert with Vanessa May and Sergio Schulte. Bless him. Bless Simon as well, because Simon is not with us anymore, of course. So bless these two marvelous people who allowed it to make it happen.
Well, let's hear Winter from the Four Seasons.
Thank you.
Winter from Vivaldi's Four Seasons, performed by Vanessa May, and The Laureate, led by Vasco Vassiliev. Raymond Blanc, Le Manoir aux Quatre Saisons opened in 1984. This extraordinary place, a country house hotel with wonderful gardens, producing its own food. And that has gone hand in hand with your developing love of classical music, because you have a festival now of music at Le Manoir.
So after Vanessa May, in 1995, opens his festival of music. I had some of the greatest musicians. We had Kirite Kanawa, Bryn Terwijl, Jacques Lussier, a wonderful jazz maker, absolutely fantastic. We had Chaco Canet-Mason playing his beautiful cello, followed actually by wonderful, brilliant Julien Lloyd-Webber. And we had Tasmin Little, of course, and many, many other great artists. So we want to rebuild the festival at Le Manoir. Because after COVID, it was a tough time for everyone.
So where has that taken us to in your music list?
To a piece of music played by Tasmin Little. It's called Spiegel im Spiegel, Mirror im Mirror. And that's the most divine piece of music I've ever heard.
The first part of Spiegel im Spiegel by the Estonian composer Arvo Pärt, performed by Tasmin Little and Martin Roscoe, It has a kind of curiously meditative feeling to it, doesn't it, that music?
I found this music an enormous catalyst for just being quiet in a place and enjoying yourself, just listening to that piece of music.
You started, Raymond Blanc, in the era before celebrity chefs, but you've become one, appearing on television. And I wonder if there's an element of theatre for you in doing that.
Always. A restaurant, a beautiful hotel, it's a live theatre which plays 24 hours a day. And art is very involved. I work with so many artists, whether painters, sculptors. Actually, that's one of the purest forms of art, cuisine, which will never be recognised. Because you take something from nature, whether from the river, from the air, from the ocean, whether it is a rabbit or whether it is a carrot.
Or a brown trout,
absolutely. And then you gut it, you peel it, you chop it, you prepare it lovingly to create a thing which is so beautiful to look at and even more beautiful to taste, because what matters is the taste and the texture.
Well, you are a bit like a conductor of an orchestra or even an opera company, and it is opera that is going to be your final piece, isn't it?
Absolutely, yes. It's a piece that I've chosen really shook me by its power, its drama, its beauty.
Yeah, this is a wonderfully moving aria from La Traviata, Teneste la promessa. It's really where Violetta realises that she's not going to beat TB and has just received a letter from her lover's father disclosing that he knows all about her past life.
I love it because it's a beautiful love story. And this woman, as a fallen woman, lived in the worst possible environment, and she falls in love. And that love dies with her. So the power of the story is strong, but the music, to me, that's my favourite opera, better than La Bohème, better than Tuscany, better than any opera that I've ever heard.
So it only remains for me to thank you very much, Raymond Blanc, for giving us not just one helping, but several helpings of a delicious musical meal.
Thank you, Michael. Thank you very much. Thank you.
Teneste La Promessa from Act 3 of Giuseppe Verdi's La Traviata. It was performed by Aminella Yajo with the Orchestra de la Comunitat Valenciana, conducted by Andrea Battistoni. And it was the final choice of Michael Barclay's guest today on Private Passions, the chef Raymond Blanc. The programme was produced by Claire Walker. And next week, Michael will be talking to the percussionist Ray Cooper. BBC Radio 3 on 90 to 93 FM, digital radio, BBC Sounds and on your smart speaker. It's 1 o'clock, time for the news, read by me, Jane Royce. Israel is facing growing international alarm over its planned offensive in Rafah, the city in southern Gaza, crammed with around 1.5 million Palestinians who fled their homes. Israel's Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu says he's told the Israeli military to draw up plans to evacuate civilians from the city, but the UN says there's nowhere safe for them to go. The Foreign Secretary, Lord Cameron, said he was deeply concerned about the prospect of a ground operation. He again called for an immediate pause in the fighting to get aid in and hostages out. Hamas has said an offensive would blow up hostage negotiations. Pakistan's Election Commission has declared the final results of Thursday's parliamentary election. 101 independent candidates won seats. More than 90 of them are allied to Imran Khan's PTI party. The Pakistan Muslim League, led by his main political rival Nawaz Sharif, took 75 seats, with the Pakistan People's Party winning 54. Questions remain about who will form the next government. Mr. Khan is in jail and was barred from competing. His supporters ran as independents because the PTI wasn't recognised by the Election Commission. The Housing Secretary, Michael Gove, has confirmed that landlords evicting tenants for no reason will be outlawed in England before the next general election. The planned legislation would limit no-fault eviction to specific instances, such as when a landlord sells a property. The government first vowed to end these type of evictions in 2019, but long-awaited rental reforms have not yet been passed. Analysis by BBC News shows that bosses at the technology company Fujitsu were paid more than £1 million a year on average while overseeing the contract that led to the Post Office Horizon scandal. Fujitsu has apologised and said it would contribute to compensation to wrongly convicted Post Office branch managers. Crowds of well-wishers have greeted the King as he attended church at Sandringham in Norfolk this morning. He's put official public duties on hold while he receives treatment for cancer. And the weather: outbreaks of rain will affect the east of England, with some eastern parts of Scotland. Elsewhere will be bright with sunny spells and some showers, which could turn wintry on high ground. Highs of 11 Celsius in London, 9 in Cardiff, 8 in Belfast and 7 in Edinburgh. BBC News.
BBC Radio 3, the home of classical music. Celebrating 100 years of a groundbreaking piece in the Sunday feature.
The work masterfully blended jazz and classical music in a way that no American composer had achieved before.
It galvanized my insides. It's life-changing.
The legacy of Rhapsody in Blue and the hunt for a new piece of music that captures the spirit of America today.